right. Let's get into the Word of God. This is the second part of the message, what the church needs to do in 2022. And I'm taking all of these messages from Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Since a word was given, a prophecy was given, to spend time studying those books, because the Lord is about to launch the church in February and do great things through the body of Christ. So let's get into Philippians today. Let's pray first. Father, we love you and praise you, and we thank you for sending your Son and leaving the Holy Spirit and the Word of God till your work on earth is done. We thank you for the revelation that you've given us, especially through the New Testament, through the apostles, Lord, the books written specifically to the church to let us know what we should be doing, how we should be doing it. Help us today, because we believe that we're in a critical time, that we're in a special, special time in the history of the world and the history of the church, and that you have called us and appointed each one of us to be in this special time, for such a time as this, to do your will, to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a big responsibility. But we thank God that you've given us your word, prayer, the Holy Spirit, all the weapons and gifts of the Holy Spirit to use to accomplish the mission that you've given us. So we love you. We praise you. Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, teach us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Word of God, as I said last week, has always revealed to the church his plan of what we're called to do for him and who we're supposed to be for him as the body of Christ, as the church. The Lord really wants us to know in 2022, to know 2022 is the year that the church needs to pray and be in my word more than you've ever been before. As you do, Holy Spirit will help you understand the times in order to be able to know what the church needs to do in 2022. Last week, the word for 2022 to the church from the book of Ephesians was to live a life that measures up to the standard God set when he called us to be his children. To live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Know your assignment accurately and don't deviate from my plans, which I will reveal to you by the Holy Spirit from my written word. Some of the things he shared with us is don't let the devil bring division in the church, especially. Instead, make every effort to keep the church united in the Spirit. Bind us yourselves together in peace. Walk as children of light in the Spirit, in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Expose all the darkness. Expose the evil that's out there. Speak out against all the wickedness and unrighteousness that is out there. We have to open our voices and speak out what God's word says about evil and about wickedness in our nation, in our cities, in our towns. We cannot be silent. Try to learn what pleases the Lord and do it. Make good use of every opportunity that you have. Why? Because the days are evil. And the strength that you'll need to accomplish his will comes from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. You must use his power and might to accomplish your mission. You can't do it in your own strength. Be sure that while you're doing it, that you put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against the attacks of the devil. And after fighting to the end, you'll still hold your ground. You'll still be standing. So that was from the book of Ephesians last week. Now we're going to go to the book of Philippians to hear what the Lord wants the church to do in 2022. Chapter 1. Before I share these scriptures, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11. Let me just set the scene of about the book of Philippians and the book of Ephesians and Colossians. Where was Paul when he wrote these letters? In a prison. Talk about someone who had every right to be depressed and bummed out and not be feeling like doing the will of the Lord or spreading the gospel or doing any of those things. But is Paul doing that? Is he sitting there moaning and crying and wondering what's going on? No. This book, actually the book of Philippians, he says, I'm rejoicing. He's filled with joy. And he tells the church, no matter what you're going to, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. But Paul, this is such a serious situation. Paul's writing this letter. He knows he's the founder of the Philippian church. We all remember the story in the book of Acts, Acts 16, when he went. This was a special call. The Holy Spirit called him, told him not to go to one place, but to go to Macedonia, to go to Philippi, and begin to spread the gospel in Europe. This was a special time. We know that this is where he went. He casted a demon out of a demon-possessed girl who was following them, remember? And what happened? He got thrown in jail for doing it because he took away all, they thought they were taking away, he was stopping their businesses from being profitable because this demon girl used to always prophesy or try to predict for them what would happen in their businesses. He's thrown in jail. Remember, there's a great earthquake. The prison doors swing wide open while him and Silas are singing praises and hymns, and everybody goes free, and then the jailer gets saved. So you all remember the story there. It was a powerful time at the way that the Lord founded this church through Paul. But now he's in jail as the father, their spiritual father, as their founder, knowing that he might not get out. He's telling them, I'm about to die. I could possibly die. I might not be able to come back and see you guys again. So this is, he's thanking them for sending them a monetary gift to help him and bless him. But then he encourages them in their faith. He tries to tell them, this is what you need to do. Even though I'm in jail, I'm going through all this, don't be depressed, be full of joy, and follow my example and do these things. And this is what he tells them to do. But first, before we get into the things that he told them to do, let's read his prayer. Because I believe this prayer, Paul's prayer in chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, sums up for us what the heart of Jesus is concerning the church in 2022. This is what he wants for the church. This is what we all should want. As your pastor, this is what I want for the church. This is my prayer for you, that your love will grow more and more, and that you will have knowledge and understanding with your love. Now listen to this part, that you will see the difference between what is important and what is not, and that you will choose what is important. How powerful is that for 2022? Listen to how the Amplified Bible puts it. Jesus wants us to learn to sense what is vital. What is vital that we need to be doing? And approve and prize what is excellent and what is of real value in 2022. Is that a word for the church or not? That is a word for the church. That is what he wants us to do. That's his prayer for us. That's Paul's prayer. That's what we all need to be praying for each other and for the church. Amen? That you will be pure and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul always focused on the rapture and the second coming of Jesus. He was always lived every single day as if Jesus was coming back that day. I believe there's something really important in that. That if we're not doing that, we're kind of missing something. We need to get that same attitude, that same understanding. That he could come back any day. The rapture could happen at any time. the tribulation would start, the great tribulation. We need to have that same heart and attitude. That your life, I love this part, he prays that your life will be full of the many good works that are produced by Jesus Christ to bring glory and praise to God. He goes on and tells the next few verses, some of the greatest verses that he says, one of my favorite verses. He's telling them, look, I might not be back, I'm probably going to die, but he said it doesn't matter to me because to live is Christ, but to die is even better as far as I'm concerned, right? It's a great, great chapter to read. But we're going to go down to verse 27 because I'm just focusing on what Paul tells the church to do. Chapter 1, verse 27, he tells us to do this. Just be sure you live as God's people in a way that honors the good news of Christ. A way that honors the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then if I come and visit you, hey, or if I'm away from you and don't make it back to you, they kill me, I will hear good things about you. I will know, first of all, that you stand together with the same purpose and that you work together like a team or like an army to help others believe the good news. As I was reading this, really, Paul uses that term, take a stand. Stand strong. Stand together. Do all that you can to stand. Remember, he said that in Ephesians about the armor. He's always thinking military. He's always thinking like wrestling, always fighting, always. He knows we're engaged in a war. And that's what he's talking about here, that we need to, as the body of Christ, as the people of God, as the church, we have to stand together just like an army. And I was picturing, as I was talking about earlier, the people of Ukraine. If you watch any of the news clips, what are they doing? They're all working together now. They're not only the pastors are getting together and praying and fasting for the nation, obviously, but you know what all the people are doing? They're taking up arms. They're all learned, men, the women, the youth, and men that have never been in the army, they're all purchasing guns, all getting firearms and learning how to protect themselves and all joining together to protect each other and the nation against the evil that's out there. To me, that's a picture of what Paul's talking about right here. That's how the church should be, working together like an army like that, that knows the enemy's right there to attack us, to try to stop us from doing whatever the Lord wants us to do. Then he goes on in verse 28, listen to what he says. And I love this. I've always loved this verse. Don't be afraid of your enemies. Always be courageous, and this will prove to them that they will lose and you will win. Because it's God who gives you the victory. For you have been given the privilege, listen to this, of not only serving Christ, not only believing and having faith in him, but you've been given the privilege of suffering for him also. Just like I'm suffering for him, you've been given that privilege. Should that come to America, should we lose our religious freedom, lose our privileges, should they start trying to close down churches, should they try to shut you up from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I don't know if you saw the clip about the Finnish woman in Finland, they told her, you can read the Bible and believe what it says, but you can't speak the Bible. You can't tell people that their life is sinful. And of course, especially the LGBT and the homosexuals, that's who she was addressing. They're talking about putting her in jail for 2 years for saying that it's sinful. So if that can happen in Finland, the people that reported it were saying, hey, it could come to America real soon. But it already has. We know that at one point, I don't even know if you remember, but they actually seized, a couple years ago, they actually seized all the sermons of some pastors in Texas. Remember that? Where they spoke out against homosexuals. They just simply quoted the Bible, what the Bible says. And all the I forget, FBI or someone came in and seized all their sermons off their computers and stuff. So it's already happened before, actually. But anyhow, let's keep going.
I have to wonder what they're going to do with them.
I know. I mean, probably get saved.
What is that
going to
do?
Just to be able to have something to put up in court to say, you actually said this.
Can I read verse 28 in the Amplified?
Yes. I'm glad. I was going to do that, actually.
Yeah. Threatened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof and seal to them that their impending
destruction.
But a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation that is from God.
Isn't that a powerful word for the church? In 2022, not even for a moment, not even for a moment. Don't fear them. But he's not talking about just listening to the news or what's going on and being afraid. He's talking to listen to what he says in the next verse. I'll just be quiet. He says, now you can engage with me in the battle. I love the word engage. He's saying, now it's your turn. Engage in the battle with me. And don't fear them for 1 minute as you speak out the truth. Share the gospel, obviously, but speak out the truth, too, against all the lies and all the evil that's out there that's being promoted. You come against that false narrative that's being promoted right now, and you speak the truth. Don't you fear them for one moment, any threats that they put against us. Amen? I'm reminded of Martin Luther, you know, when he nailed that 95 thesis to the church door, the Catholic church door. Martin Luther, Wycliffe, all those people, all the apostles, all, they were what? They all willingly gave up they engaged in the battle. They did not listen to the threats of anybody. They kept constantly making sure that what God put in their hearts, the truth that he put in their hearts, was going to go forth, and that truth was going to win the battle. We list the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, says this: though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. Love that verse. Powerful, powerful verse. So we're not called to run and hide, just stay back and do nothing. We're called to engage. We're called to engage the enemy, because God has willed his truth to triumph through us. Now, chapter 2. I'm just going to give a quick summary of verses 1 through 11. He tells us, agree with each other, show your love for each other, be united in your goals and the way you think. Whatever you do, don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. Be humble. Honor others more than yourselves. Learn to humbly serve each other by having the same attitude that Jesus had about serving us. And God will exalt you in due time, just the way, same way he did Jesus when he seated him at the right hand and gave him the name above every other name. He's telling us simply, be like Jesus. And that's a pretty high standard to set. It's not easy, right? Trying to walk, talk, live like Jesus is not easy in this crazy world. So Paul tells us in verse 12, gives us a little encouragement to say, look, you can do this. Listen to what he says. Dearest friends, when I was there with you, you were always so careful to follow my instructions. Now that I'm away, you must be even more careful to do the things that result from being saved. King James says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Obey God with deep reverence, shrinking back from all that might displease him. And here's the encouraging part. Here's what he tells us. This is how you can be like Jesus. This is why you can be like Jesus. Verse 13, for God is at work within you, helping you want to obey him and giving you the power to do what he wants you to do. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Praise God. He gives us the will and the power to do it no matter what the world, flesh, or devil try to use to stop us from being like Jesus. Then in verse 14, this is a powerful, powerful verse. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing. In other words, whatever God tells you to do, don't complain, argue about it. Then verse 15, this is the verse I really wanted to specify. So that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of people who are crooked and perverse. Let me say that again. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world that is full of people who are crooked and perverse. The King James says a crooked and perverse generation. Listen, this world is getting darker and darker and more perverse all the time. Well, maybe other parts of the world, but America specifically is getting more perverse all the time. I hate to say that if you're not aware of that. They're legalizing pedophilia, legalizing transgender sex changes, promoting all kinds of wickedness and perverse, wicked, evil things, not just among the adults, but the children, to the children. They're pushing it on the children now. It's perverse. We need to stand up. We need to shine our light on that darkness. We need to, so that's the darkness and the perverseness. Holding out to them the word of life. Listen, the world's been filled with darkness and death ever since the devil deceived Adam in the garden to sin by not obeying God's command. You can read that in Romans 5. Death entered the world through one man, through the sin of one man, Adam. Death. Not only is the world been filled with death, but America is becoming a culture of death. Look at what's being promoted. Abortion. Let's depopulate the earth. Let's kill everybody. We've got to kill half the people off because Earth can't sustain everybody. Why is that happening? Because of the devil, the father of lies. What's his purpose? He only comes for one reason, to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he cares about. And why does he want to kill everybody? He wants to kill as many unsaved people as he possibly can before they get saved so he can take them to hell with him. So do we need to step up our game and be praying and fighting and speaking out? If we live in a culture of death and we live a world where death is promoted, what should we be speaking to them? Hello, life, the word of life. We get to hold out the word of life to them. We get to present the word of life to them. That is amazing. That's why Paul tells us in 2022, you must shine out like beacon lights among the people who are in darkness. Hold out the word of life to those who sit in the shadow of death. What did Jesus say about his words? He told us that the words that he speaks are spirit and they are life. Right? You remember in Acts 5 when Peter and John got put in prison, the angel came. Bam, open the doors. Guess what he told them to do in Acts 5:20 after he released them, after the angel released them? This is what the angel told them to do. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. I thought that was powerful. Which means the whole doctrine of salvation from sin and death. And show that the law is fulfilled in the sacrifice of Jesus. That by his resurrection, he has brought life and immortality to light. That's a quote from 1 Timothy. by the gospel, Jesus Christ himself has brought life and immortality to light. He's given us an understanding of how to have true life and immortality through the gospel. We're called to take that. And nobody is exempt from that, from sharing that or doing that. He tells us to do it two ways. Shine as lights, which means you show it with your life by the holy life you live, and speak the word of life. A lot of people say, oh, well, you're just supposed to preach the gospel with the way you live. That's not what Paul said. Paul said you speak the gospel with the way you live, but you also speak the word of life to them. We know we have to share the gospel with them. Next, we're going to look at Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16, which simply shares with us the church needs to run the race that he has set before us with all the power and might that he's given us to reach the goal of being that all Jesus wants us to be for him. Because I believe the finish line is in sight more than ever, according to biblical prophecy. Look at what he says, starting in Philippians 3, verse 12. Paul says, I don't mean that I am exactly what God wants me to be. I've not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and make it mine. That's what Christ Jesus wants me to do. That's what he called me for. That's the reason that he made me his, to run that race, to be his, to do all that he's called us to do. Brothers and sisters, I know that I still have a long way to go, but there's one thing that I do. Listen to what he says. I forget what is in the past, try as hard as I can to reach the goal before me. I keep running hard toward the finish line to get to the prize that is mine, because God has called me with a high calling. He's called me through Christ Jesus to live for all of eternity in heaven with him. That's a pretty high calling. Amen? That's our prize. That's our goal, to be with Jesus. But look at what he said. I forget what is in the past and try as hard as I can to reach the goal before me. We know from the Olympics, or from if you've watched any people who run, this is not me, I was never a runner, so I can't really tell you I can relate to this. I was kind of more of a baseball guy, stand out in left field and look for fly balls. But when you're running, if you've ever seen them when they're running in the Summer Olympics, or they train all their life for that, and their strategy always is, you know, in the beginning, they run kind of, especially if it's a long distance race, which our Christian life is, they kind of pace themselves and take it easy. But when they can see, they're on that last lap and they can see that finish line, man, they just start straining every muscle and every nerve and putting all the energy they have into reaching that goal. That's what Paul says, pressing. And if you've ever seen them when they get to the finish line, what do a lot of them do? They press, or they stretch out as far as they can just to get over that line. That's the picture that Paul's giving us here. We're pressing, we're stretched, doing everything we can to get to that finish line, to cross that finish line. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Verses 15 and 16. I'm just going to simply keep reading. I just couldn't stop there. Paul says, I actually like this. Paul says in verse 15 and 16, all of us who have grown to be spiritually mature should think this way too. And if there's any of this that you don't agree with, well, God will make it clear to you. Don't you like that? Look, Paul's saying, all right, everybody, you all might not agree with this. But if you're mature and you pray about it, and listen to the word of the Lord, God will make it clear to you, this is what he's called us to do. This is what we need to be doing right now. Then he says in verses 17 through 21, he says, keep on imitating me, my friends, and pay attention to those who follow the right example that we have set for you. I've told you this many times before, and now I repeat it with tears. There are many whose lives make them enemies of Christ's death on the cross. They're going to end up in hell because their God is their bodily desires. They are proud of what they should be ashamed of. And they think only of things that belong to this world. We, however, are citizens of heaven. Don't you love that? And we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. Here Paul is again, focusing on, look, my citizenship, yes, hey, I live here in America. I'm a citizen of America. But my real citizenship is in heaven. Paul was always looking forward to heaven. He always realized that he lives in, he's seated in heavenly places with Christ right now. His mind was always on things of heaven, always on the things eternal, not on the things of the earth and the temporary things. Amen? We, however, are citizens of heaven, and we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. And listen to this. This is a really good part. Why? Because he will change our weak, mortal bodies and make them like his own glorious body. He's talking about our physical bodies there. That's when we get our new bodies. And how's he going to do it? I love this. He's going to do it using that power by which he is able to bring all things under his rule. That's how powerful Jesus is. The same power that he uses to rule all of the universe, he's going to take that power and change our mortal body someday to be just like his glorious body, just like the same resurrection body he had when he rose from the dead. Remember, he wasn't limited to space and time. He could come and go at any time that he wanted. So we're gonna have those same glorious bodies, and those same bodies that will never be subject to sickness or death or any of those things anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. So this is our prayer for the church in 2022. First, that our love will grow more and more, and that we'll have knowledge and understanding with our love. Father, we pray that we will see the difference between what is important and what is not, and choose to do what is important for the church in 2022, for your kingdom. Holy Spirit, help us to learn to know what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value. And help us to shine out like beacons of light among the people who are in darkness. Help us to hold out the word of life to them who sit in the bondage and shadow of death. Fill us with your power so we can keep running hard toward the finish line to get the prize that is ours, because we know and we declare God has called us through Jesus Christ to live a life with you in glory. We declare we will be pure and blameless as we eagerly wait for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will change our weak and mortal bodies and make them like his own glorious body. And Holy Spirit, in 2022, let our life be full of many good works that are produced by Jesus Christ to bring glory and praise to our Father God. And everyone said, amen.